Dear friends, a blessed feast day of the presentation to you all. It's a special privilege this year whenever February the 2nd, the day that we celebrate this feast day, falls on a Sunday, right? Because it's one of those days that normally it's during a weekday that the presentation falls. But it's one of those days in which, kind of like the Transfiguration and the Annunciation, if one of these bigger feast days falls on a Sunday, it trumps the Sunday. So we have the opportunity to celebrate the presentation today rather than the fourth Sunday in ordinary time. Today traditionally was always, for hundreds and hundreds of years, for centuries, today was the end of the Christmas season until 1970, and then they put the end of the Christmas season at the baptism of the Lord. But that's why, that's why the gospel today just comes, days after the nativity of the Lord. So really all this time we've been anticipating and living the nativity and the birth, celebrating the birth of our Lord. Today is the day on which Mary and Joseph present the child Jesus in the temple in Jerusalem. Even though Jesus does not need to be consecrated to God because he's the Son of God, Mary has no need to be purified after giving birth because she is already most pure. But we see Mary and Joseph, they are fulfilling the law of Moses, right? They're presenting their firstborn son to the Lord, and they offer a sacrifice, offer a tithe of two turtle doves. But I want to focus this morning on this old man that we meet. His name's Simeon. Because Simeon awaits the coming of the Messiah. And Simeon is a very privileged man because he was promised by the Holy Spirit. He was promised by God that he would not die until he saw the Christ, the anointed one, right? Until he saw the Christ with his own eyes. And so that's why right after Mary and Joseph bring him to the temple, Simeon takes the child Jesus in his arms. And then he praises God saying, "Now, Master, now you may let your servant go in peace because your word has been fulfilled." Because Simeon says, "For my eyes have seen your salvation." So you see, Simeon declares when he takes the child Jesus in his arms that Jesus, this child, Jesus is salvation. He embodies God who saves us. He also says that Jesus is a light for revelation to the Gentiles, right? That this child has come to bring light into darkness, into the world of darkness. He has come to bring the light of his truth and his love to illumine our minds, to illumine our lives. And he declares that Jesus is the glory for your people Israel, right? He is the fulfillment of everything that Israel anticipates. He also, this is very mysterious, Simeon then turns to the Blessed Mother and tells her two things, two main things. These are two oracles or two foretellings of Simeon. And they kind of cast a shadow over this child's future. The first is this. He turns to Mary, his mother, and he says, "Behold, this child is destined for the fall and rise of many in Israel." And he says, "And he will also be a sign that will be contradicted." He will be contradicted. Okay. So he turns to Our Lady, and he declares to her in a way that Jesus, this Messiah, this one who was sent by God, he is the one that he will draw a line in the sand for Israel. So the Jewish people, and we see this all shot through the gospel, the Jewish people are very divided about Jesus. We see this all through the gospel, right? Especially as we're in the season of Lent. We see the Jews very divided about Jesus. We even see, I mean, people in our own day, in our own culture, just look around. There are people very divided about Jesus. People will either take a stand for or a stand against Jesus. It's always been like this, right? There's really no middle ground. It's either, yeah, there's not, oh, I'm okay with Jesus. He's, you know, no, I mean. Jesus even speaks about this later on in the gospel, right? When he says that he came, strong words. He says, I came to not to bring peace, but the sword, right? He knows that his presence will bring division, right? He understands that. It's a reality. People will choose to follow him, or they will choose to not follow him. Those who reject him have already condemned themselves, but those who embrace the Lord will be blessed and will be led to happiness, led to heaven, right? So we have this kind of foreshadowing that Jesus' presence, when he makes himself known to the Jewish people and also to us, okay, we must either stand for or against him, and we always see this throughout history. The second oracle, he turns directly to Our Lady, who carries the child in her arms into the temple that day. And Simeon says to her in particular, this is very beautiful, and you yourself a sword will pierce, which is a beautiful description of Our Lady's vocation, that she will share someday in the suffering of her son on Calvary. Just imagine the contrast. 9 months previous at the Annunciation, right, when the angel Gabriel was sent from God and announced to Our Lady that she would become the mother of the Redeemer. Imagine the great joy, the peace, that holy joy that filled Our Lady's heart, right? When she uttered her fiat, you know, when she gave God her yes, her consent, let it be done to me according to your word. She says, yes, in that moment, yes, I will become the mother of the Savior. Yet here in the presentation, just a few months later, she receives a glimpse of the sufferings of her son, the sufferings that he will endure on the cross. And it's revealed to her that she will also suffer with him. John Paul II has an encyclical. It's called The Mother of the Redeemer, or Redemptoris Mater. And it's very, very beautiful. And he has this section in which he meditates upon Mary at the foot of the cross. And he says that when Mary at the foot of the cross stands next to her crucified son, that she has faith, hope, and love in her motherly heart, and that in that moment she consents to the sacrifice of her son. And John Paul II says, again, Mary utters her fiat. Mary utters her yes. She says yes to the sacrifice of her son because she knows that he is saving the world. Brothers and sisters, I think that Mary gives us a model. She actually teaches us what it means to participate in Mass, right? What it means to participate in Holy Mass. Because what is taking place here on this altar, what takes place every Sunday, every time that we come to Holy Mass, the sacrifice of Jesus is made present, right? It is represented, right? Here at the Holy Sacrifice, that's why we call it the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass. Here we are mystically at Calvary. Because what does Jesus do in the Holy Mass? Jesus offers his life. He offers his life to the Father for our salvation. This is my body given for you. This is my blood poured out for you. And so whenever we come to Mass, whenever we mystically go to Mount Calvary. We should follow Mary as our model, and we should unite ourselves to Jesus' sacrifice. This is the fullest part, this is the fullest way that we can participate in Mass, to unite to Jesus' sacrifice, placing here on the altar everything that we have, everything that we are, placing ourselves here on this altar so that when Jesus offers his life to the Father for us, everything that we have and everything that we are goes with him, is offered to the Father by the Son in the Holy Spirit. That is why we come, that is why you come to Sunday Mass. And every day that you participate in Holy Mass, it's not so much, Mass is not what we get out of it. Right? It's not to be entertained either. I'll be entertained when I watch the Super Bowl, right? But I won't be entertained at Mass, right? Because it's what we have to give. It's what we have to unite to the Lord and to his sacrifice. We come here because we have something to give. To give God our love. To give God our adoration. This is the one thing that he desires from you and from me. May it be so.